All of the horror these and others have faced is in fault to no one but them. It's not the dreamer that's to blame for following its nature. Personally, I can't wait to see how this plays out.
Welcome back to How We Roll Podcast. I really hope it hasn't been too long since our last episode of Pulp Cthulhu, but we are back and we are playing the Two-Headed Serpent and we have survived. Everyone survived and we have reached Chapter 2, New York. My name is Joe. I'm not DMing tonight. I'm playing Charles Blackstone, supposedly from Texas via Alaska, and I am a kind of aviator adventurer. And I'm joined here by some fantastic players, including a brand new player for tonight and the author of the scenario or the campaign himself, Scott Dorwood. So we'll do some brief introductions and then we're going to jump straight into Chapter 2. If you haven't listened to any of our previous games, you can start right here, or I'd really recommend going back and listen to the last chapter. It's been so much fun. So without further ado, Curran, who are you and who are you playing tonight?
Hi, I'm Curran. I am playing Ethan. Ethan is a South African big game hunter and he's recently come back from his trip in Bolivia, and he's acquired a new pet and a fancy new whip. The pet is called Greg. Greg and I we get up to wacky adventures. He's constantly eating people, so I'm trying to tame him a little bit, but we're keeping things under wraps. I mean, we're going into a heavily populated place, so we're going to try and see if we can keep things nice and level.
And I'm sure it's going to go really, really well.
There'll be a whole episode about them in the Central Park Zoo.
That was an Arnold Schwarzenegger. No, that was a different one. Okay, so our next player up tonight is Lisa. Welcome, Lisa. Who are you and who are you playing tonight?
Hello, I'm Lisa Lee. I'm a nerdy voice actor, and I'm playing Camilla Ravenswood, and she's a sharp-shooting socialite from Newport and New York, and she's also got a pet, but it's a monkey, so no eating people. Because she's also acquired a little bit of a party favor in a crazy, crazy magical serpent scepter that calls snakes. And we'll see how that goes in New York City.
Next up, we have a longtime player playing a longtime character as well. In fact, one of the first characters that ever existed on How We Roll Podcast. Welcome back, Dave.
Hey, I'm playing Bartholomew Amont this evening, who may have a new girlfriend and has acquired like a arcane artifact that shoots fire and is shaped like a snake. Very cool.
Now, as a real treat tonight, we are joined by a longtime How We Roll player, playing again one of How We Roll's most beloved characters. We are joined tonight by Aaron. Welcome back, Aaron. Thank you
Hello,
for joining
guys.
Us.
Guys, it's lovely to be back here. Oh, this seat's warm. Ooh.
Oh, the dulcet tones.
We have very much missed you, Aaron. So tell us a little about who you're playing tonight, as if the world doesn't know.
Guys, it may be of no shock to you that, in fact, tonight I am going to be Spencer Randall.
Whee!
And not just any Spencer Randall. We have Pult Spencer
Pult?
Randall. So this is
which has
Spencer
identical Randall. Stats.
Almost.
So I will put up all the character sheets onto the website as soon as I get a chance, and the Spencer Randall one should be available as well. So check it out. He is seriously amazing. And last, but by no means least, we have the one of the greatest Call of Cthulhu writers of all time. I'm sure we've all heard of him. We have Scott Dorwood joining us tonight.
Well, thank you. That's done wonders for my ego.
he just wants Charles to live, let's face it.
Yeah, it's not going to help on that front. I mean, flattery will get you nowhere, but it's still appreciated. And I am very much looking forward to seeing how your characters now cope in a more civilized environment. I think this will be entertaining.
Yeah. It's going to go from bad
can't
to worse.
Gung ho in New York, is that?
Oh, you can. It's 1930.
Right? Oh my gosh!
But I do have a friend with connections on the, you know, with the New York Police Department. So, We do run into any trouble.
So before we do jump right back into the game and we maybe do find out what's where we are and what's going on, we'll just say that we have sort of, leveled up. In Call of Cthulhu, you don't level up, but you do have a chance to improve skills, regain hit points, maybe gain some luck and some sanity. And we've done all that. If you are interested in hearing exactly what happened there, we did record it and it's uploaded onto the Patreon site. One of the things you will be very happy about, or maybe very sad about, is that Curran's character has gained quite a lot of sanity back. He did very well there.
Yeah, I still don't think he's quite out of the danger zone, but no. Yeah, he's
probably because I normally never ever use luck to stop myself losing sanity.
And on top of that, I think Bartholomew was incredibly amazing with his roles, and he is now an Olympian. I think we actually have the world's best sharpshooter.
True. That's true.
With what is it, 97 in
97
in handgun?
Yes, I am a pistolero.
So he's leaving us to go to Germany into the 1936 Olympics to compete.
For some reason, I don't think I'd be welcome in the Third Reich. So they seem to have a bit of a beef with people with, well, interesting taste.
And I'll hand back over to Scott. So, Scott, where are we? What's going on?
So, yes, you have just returned to New York City from Bolivia. You'd arranged an extraction by air. You've made your way out through the Bolivian forest to the landing strip where you've been dropped off in the first place, and have now returned initially to an airfield in New York City, where a number of staff members from Cadesius were there to meet you. They were somewhat interested in seeing you, but they were far more interested in seeing the wonderful cargo you brought back, this living mummy that you extracted from the temple that was buried deep under the Bolivian forest. This ancient serpent person whose name you've discovered is Tyrannish. And so they whisk her away in a separate car, and she's still unconscious, but they put her carefully in the back of this car and drive her off. And then, almost as an afterthought, they arrange transportation for the rest of you back to the Cadesius offices at the Meadham building. The Meadham building is on the east side of Manhattan, around 50th Street. It's one of the tallest buildings in New York City. At this stage, it's just over 18 stories tall. It's got a huge dome on the top with a large lightning rod that sticks out. It's got a wonderful view out over the East River. You've all been to the Meadham building before, and it's always a hive of activity. I mean, this is where the planning of all the medical aid work that Cadesius does around the world takes place. But of course, as you've discovered in Bolivia now, this is just a front that... Sure, they do good work. They do worthy work with dealing with diseases and natural disasters and helping people out in war zones. But this isn't really the true purpose of Cadesius. And now that you've had your rather bumpy initiation into what is referred to as the Inner Circle, you are now being escorted up to a floor that you've never gained access to before, which is the 7th floor. And as you come out of the lifts there, you come out into this room, this large open-plan room that is a hive of activity. There's all sorts of people, you know, some of them hammering away on typewriters, reading ancient books. There's people on the telephone. There's people, you know, having loud conversations with each other. And it's a fairly eccentric lot. And some of them, you know, have got a very sort of ex-military cast to them. Some of them, you know, look very much like academics. There's, you know, strange diagrams on the wall and people pointing at maps and diagrams there and trying to trace stuff out, and you hear, you know, snatches of conversation in all sorts of languages. It's an eclectic bunch. The air is filled with cigarette and cigar smoke, and it is a form of beautiful organized chaos. But the driver who's brought you here, you know, leads you through all this, and says, I believe you're supposed to be waiting in that room there. Mr. Shapiro will be with you in just a moment. And he points to a little meeting room off to one side.
Bart has been extremely distressed since they took Tyrannish away. And when this guy just sort of, let's just go wait, you know, go to the conference room to wait. He just sort of grabs him by the front of the shirt. Yes, but where is Tyrannish? You must be careful with her. She is a being of extraordinary potential and knowledge. Where have you taken her? I must see her.
But just a quick word in your ear. I'm a little bit concerned about this place. They've already lied to us once. I mean, who knows what else they're hiding? Just take it easy.
Hearing that, Bart does kind of take a hold of himself and sort of straighten out his waist, pull his waistcoat down, and. Yes, and then follows everyone else.
I've got two questions. Is Greg with me, and do I have my gun?
Well, then you have your gun. Yeah, I mean, I assume you haven't kind of left it anywhere. I mean, you haven't really had a chance to unpack or anything like that, so I'm assuming you've got bags and so on with you. So if you've got any stolen artifacts or artifacts that you're not handing over, you've probably got those secreted around your person at the moment. Okay. As far as Greg's concerned, yes. Yeah, I mean, assuming again you haven't left him in the car or something.
And no one's flinching? No one's freaking out? They're just...
No one's freaking out, but a number of the people have sort of stopped their conversations on the phone and are wandering over, looking at this thing that you brought into their midst. Not with the kind of terror that you've seen from more... you know, ordinary or balanced people, but with fascination. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of them, you know, a slightly balding man with a toothbrush moustache, dressed in a tweed jacket and little wire-framed glasses, looks... That's a fascinating specimen. Where did you find that? This looks like... Is it of serpent person design?
Settle down now, Rat. This is just a guardian variety Bolivian dog. Relax.
No. I've read documents about some of the breeding programs that the serpent people put together, and some of the clever ways in which they spliced genetic material from a number of different creatures. This is clearly something that they've created. This is marvelous. May I dissect it?
No.
You can certainly just try.
Hang on there a second. Yeah. You're telling me you know all about these serpent things and you sent us all off there to fight them?
I personally haven't sent anyone anywhere. I'm just a researcher, but,
Greg and the rest of us would like to know the answer to that question.
Well, you should probably speak to Dr. Consalvis at some stage. I have nothing to do with mission planning. I'm not responsible for your predicament. Like I said, Dr. Consalvis, he's in charge of all that.
Well, you better show us the way then, fella.
You know, Charles, if this guy's messing with us, I'm going to get Greg to eat him. And I do that. Say it just loud enough that he can hear.
he backs off carefully and he says, well, maybe I can examine your specimen later, right? I suppose the process doesn't have to be entirely destructive.
Perhaps my specimen can examine you.
maybe just a little biopsy?
I'll think about it.
I think that's up to Greg.
It is Greg's decision.
Greg is looking at the researcher very hungrily.
All right, Greg. We'll consider that. Let's go to the room and let's wait for Dr. What's his name?
Well, no, Gonzalez. No. You were told that it was Mr. Shapiro who was going to come and see you.
Ah, yes. Okay, we go to the room. We wait for Mr. Shapiro. Greg, be good.
Can we sort of barge through as well, looking like kind of cross and not really taking care as we launch our way through this area.
Okay. Well, I mean, as you're making your way across the room, you know, heading towards this, Bart sort of catches sight of, you know, the lifts opening and another figure being led out by one of the security guards. Across the room, you can see a familiar person, a familiar figure. And this is where I embarrass myself, Aaron, by having completely forgotten your fucking character's name. You can edit this out, can't you, Joe?
And now you definitely won't.
Spencer Randall.
Yes, right. That's it.
Spencer Randall.
Yes, yeah. You see,
we actually got a Kickstarter plan called Spencer Randall Investigations, where we're going to have a whole, like, you know, a bit like what's the thing that Sturgeon Fox have done?
Hudson and Brand.
Gaslight one. Yeah. Hudson and Brand, yeah. We're going to do a Spencer Randall Investigations version, I think.
Fantastic.
It's on the cards.
What the dash does he doing here? Oh, Spencer!
And I'll sort of wave towards him and walk towards Spencer.
Hey, Bart. Long time no see, my friend.
It has. After that unpleasantness and our sojourn in South America, I did kind of feel that we'd seen enough of each other for a while, but no, it's good to see you now. What are you doing here?
Well, you know, it's New York's been my old stomping grounds, and well, I've been looking up a lead here that's funnily enough led me here. But what are you doing? Last time I heard, you was they released you, did they?
Leaning forward, they never caught me. Yes, the less said about that unpleasantness, the better, particularly when there might be prying ears. No, but I seem to have... I've landed in another... Not similar, but another spot of weirdness.
No.
Hopefully I'll be seeing you. Perhaps, I think... We'll be in New York for a while now, I assume, and when things come together, we should definitely have a drink, and I can fill you in on what's been going on. I might need someone who I can trust.
Bart, your stories and our time together has always brought me the most interesting of times. Listen, here's my card. I'm going to be in town for a few days following up some leads to the current case that I'm working on, but... I've got an office down on Main Street. Pop by and see me.
Yes. I think that would be wise. I've had a decent experience with my new companions, but they don't have the history we do.
I'll look over his shoulder and look at the motley crew of companions standing behind him, all chatting within each other, and said, "Yes, all right, you have my attention."
Actually, that's a good point. And now that you're looking over at the motley crew of companions there, can I have a sanity roll?
Nice.
Is this because...
98?
I'm South African.
90. That's So, did he say 98?
98.
How much is your sanity at the moment?
I would assume...
It's equal to your power to begin with.
Equal to power. Okay, yeah. Then it would be 60.
Okay, so that's not a fumble, mercifully. So, okay, so it's only, you know, 2 points of sanity, so it's not a massive thing. But you catch sight of, along with these new companions, there is something that is rubbing up against the legs of this man, you know, who's wearing sort of khakis and has got this big rifle over his shoulders, that does not belong in this world. Something that at first you maybe almost thought it was a large dog, but it has scales, it has little kind of beady eyes, it has a mouthful of impossibly sharp teeth and this snake-like tongue flickering out, and its musculature, everything about it is abhorrently unnatural. And it's just cheerfully nuzzling this man.
as I see Spencer's face sort of blanch at seeing this, you know, but seeing he's still holding his calm and his cool, I look back and follow his gaze and look back. Yes, it's one of those interesting times. And walk away.
can I just say before he walks away, I kind of looking at the thing, it kind of startles me, and I stumble over some of my words. I'm like, those are what are they breeding these pugs with these days?
This is actually a combination of a Shih Tzu and a pug. And also a bit of mountain lion.
Charles Blackstone, pleased to meet you. And how do you go? How do you know Bart?
Me and Bart here go way back, at least 10 or so years.
Really?
It's been a long time, hasn't it, Bart? And, like, not really being able to take my eyes off this creature.
It's okay. I'm Ethan, and this is Greg. Greg, say hello.
this creature's tongue flickers out and licks over the back of your hand.
Sanity roll. No, it's he's friendly. Don't worry about him, he's all right. So your name is Spencer, is it?
Where on earth did you find this creature?
This is just your garden variety Bolivian dog, I swear. I'm telling everybody this, but nobody believes me. I didn't see any other dogs there, so I assume this is normal.
Yeah, it's a dog.
I hike up my trench coat and crouch down, squatting, and reach out to touch the creature.
His breath smells like a combination of an open sewer and a grave. Touching it, I mean, its hide is thick and scaly. And, you know, as you run your hand across it, it makes this hissing, growling sound from deep inside that you can feel rattling your bones.
I pull my hand away and stand up and look at Bart square in the eye. He goes, okay. What's been going on?
Okay.
It will take more than an elevator conversation. Like I said, I'll find you and I'll open a bottle and maybe two, and then, you know, that should be enough to get us through my sale.
Maybe tonight at the club. And I'll kind of sit one hip kind of against on one of the desks that are around and kind of cock my head sideways at him and say, hello, Camilla Ravenwood. Bart, is he to be trusted?
Well, more than you, love.
Oh, that's not what you said in the jungle. But
the man whose desk you're leaning towards is on the is on the telephone at the moment and looks up for a moment and says, "Do you mind, young lady?" And then just goes back to his telephone conversation. Anyway, as I was saying, yes, just kill them all right?
No, I don't mind at all. This desk is comfy. Yes, do kill them all. Do.
Yes, the matter is quite in hand, young lady. Yes, yeah, they will be exterminated to a man. Yes, anyway.
Maybe we should be having this conversation, I don't know, elsewhere. And I'd love to know from you, Spencer, Mr. Randall, sorry, more about this place. Can we have that talk somewhere else?
Certainly. As I say, I need to... As tempting as this is, I do need to get on with other cases that I've been seeing at the moment, but do come by my office later this evening.
Now, as much as I'm enjoying this little tete-a-tete, we've got a Shapiro to talk to and find out what on earth is going on here. So, Spencer, a pleasure to meet you. I hope we catch up with you soon.
Likewise.
Spencer, do you work with Mr. Shapiro?
No, I do not. I have been merely following up another lead to another case that has quite incidentally brought me to this building. But as I say, I will speak to you later on. Good day to you.
Okay, so the rest of you make your way through to the meeting room. And sure enough, a few minutes later, a man in a fairly bland-looking suit, he's got short, nondescript, sandy brown hair, he's got glasses, he's clean-shaven, comes through, fanning himself with a manila folder. Are you the Bolivia Field team?
Yeah, I put my hand out. Hello, the name's Ethan. Pleasure to meet you. It's a very bland suit you have. You must be Shapiro.
Yes. And that's the specimen that you picked up in Bolivia, he says, pointing at Greg. Fascinating.
The name is Greg. He has a name.
Of course he does. Yes. We'll have to talk in some detail about him. We've heard of we've heard a little bit about these creatures. But we want to know exactly, were the Inner Knight using them there as some kind of weapons or guard dogs or?
Hey, hang on, I'll stop you right there. The who?
Oh, yes, of course. Sorry. How much did Orsini manage to tell you?
Should we start with nothing and then move on to maybe you filling us in?
Right. Oh, okay. This is going to be complicated then. I'll tell you what. Make yourselves comfortable for a moment. I'll be back in just a second. I'll arrange some coffee as well. And he scurries out of the room.
I don't particularly like this, Charles.
that is he going to get some kind of knockout drops? What is it? I don't trust anyone here. Should we be here when he gets back? What do we do?
Well, we are in the middle of New York City. I very much doubt, though, they could kidnap a socialite, a personage of my stature, and hope to get away with it.
Even so, let's all be on our guard.
I mean, we have a Greg, which is great, but
it's not going to help us.
You're a good boy, Greg. But he will keep us safe. I don't trust any of this. Oh, God.
Well,
perhaps the monkey should drink some of the coffee first.
Then a couple of moments later, Shapiro comes back into the room, and this time he's carrying a whole stack of folders with him. And he says, right, yes, you take one of these each. He hands them out. These are the full briefing packs. Some of the information won't be new to you, but the majority will be. It will take you some time to read these. For security reasons, we can't let you take them off the premises, but you're welcome to stay here for as long as you want and familiarize yourself with the contents. But first of all, let me offer my profuse apologies. Obviously, Dr. Orsini was supposed to ease your transition into the inner circle of Cadesius. The circumstances in which you found yourself were exceptional and unfortunate, and I am very, very sorry that you had to go through that. As you'll understand, as you become more familiar with our operations, we have to be very, very careful about who we trust and who we bring into our inner circle. And the technique that we've developed over the years is that we test people out in the field. We see whether they're suitable candidates for initiation into our true purpose. And if someone is the kind of person we're looking for, as all of you have obviously proved yourselves to be by the fact that you've successfully completed this mission, then
you mean alive.
Well, not just alive. You successfully brought the dreamer back to us. This is, this is exceptional. The information that
at the mention of the dreamer, it's like, you won't. One of your peons outside mentioned dissection.
Oh no!
Dissecting
Oh, perish the thought. No, no, no. We shan't be dissecting the dreamer. Once we've managed to wake her up, we plan on learning as much as we can about what her mission was and about what information she's managed to uncover and about how it relates to the current situation with the serpent people in the world today.
There's no insight role for him, is there?
You could do a psychology. Yeah.
Could I do that?
Yes, by all means.
I don't want to interrupt you. No.
This is perfect time to make a psychology roll.
Okay, yeah. I don't know if I buy a word of this. That was a 77 over 67.
Okay.
I went ahead and tried a psychology roll and rolled an 89 against 10. Bart is credulous.
58 versus 30. I have no idea. Like, I'm suspicious, but I just can't read him.
I'm not suspicious. I'm just very concerned about Tyrannish.
I'm suspicious about all of Tyrannish. All the things.
Okay, but no one passed their psychology role, did they? So no. You're all very tired. You've just come from a long journey. You're disorientated. You're being inundated with new information here. I am trying to just get your head around what he's saying to you. Let alone reading the subtext is hard work at the moment. But
Bart is quietly wondering how much of a file they've got on him and the shenanigans he's gotten up to previously.
But, I mean, Shapiro says, you mentioned dissection, and absolutely not. She is far too valuable to us alive. Anyway, look, we need to tell you the larger picture. And like I said, there is far more detail here in your briefing pack, so do familiarise yourself with this. The simple version is, as you have no doubt pieced together from context and what you've been through, Caduceus is not precisely what it seems to be. That, yes, we do conduct medical aid missions around the world, but our true purpose is to deal with a far graver existential threat to mankind. You've encountered, obviously, the Dreamer and other entities out in the field, these serpent people. They represent members of a race that predates humanity. They were once the rulers of the Earth before mankind rose to prominence. And they lost their grip on power, but the reasons for this were complicated, but it mostly comes down to religious conflicts and strifes within their own society. That there were a number of different religious factions. There were the worshippers of Yig, the father of snakes. They still exist to this day, and they are, shall we say, a slightly more benign presence. As with a lot of other serpent people, sort of exist in the hidden corners of the world. They interact very rarely with mankind, and they as far as we've been able to ascertain, they bear no hostility towards us. They are very much a spent force. I mean, they're not necessarily our allies, but they're not our enemies either. On the other hand, there are the worshippers of Sarthogua, a god of darkness, and their interests are far more towards destruction. In recent years, they have managed to band together and form a new organization that they refer to as the Inner Night. This organization is devoted to trying to restore the serpent people to supremacy, to try to establish what they refer to as the Third Empire, and reduce humanity to, either to nothing or to an easily managed rabble. And these are our enemies. Joshua Meadham, the founder of Meadham Pharmaceuticals and then Cadesius, some years back had an incident. He encountered one of these serpent people, one of these worshippers of Sarthogua, who attempted to kill him, who attempted to gain control of the, you know, the empire for whatever reason.
And wear his skin,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. But you know, happily, you know, Mr. Meadham managed to escape from that. And ever since then, you know, he sold Meadham Pharmaceuticals. He used the money to establish Cadesius and use the resources at his disposal to try to uncover and foil the schemes of these serpent people, you know, the inner night, wherever possible. And that's what we do now. We rely on teams of experts, of highly skilled individuals such as yourself, to go out into the field where we uncover menaces and schemes that the inner night, you know, are putting together, and to, for a start, foil the smaller schemes, but also to try to learn more about what their larger schemes are so that we can deal with that, because, as I said, we believe it is an existential threat to humanity. So, as I said, you know, we can only apologize for the fact that your induction happened in such an unfortunate manner, but we hope that won't put you off, and that we can rely on you to, you know, to step up and you know, save humanity from certain destruction.
Well, that's a lovely story, but how do we know that you won't set us up again?
Well, we didn't try to set you up. As I said, this was meant to be a field test. We were meant to be evaluating you. It just went horribly wrong with the death of Dr. Orsini.
Is there any kind of compensation in this, like monetary?
Yes,
perhaps,
of course.
We get some good... Do you have like a goodies kind of bag somewhere, like a archive full of nice toys that we can use?
You will have access to our library and files here, yes, and we do occasionally uncover, you know, useful artifacts certainly we can make sure that you're furnished with any weapons and equipment you might need out in the field.
All right.
This is a lot to take on.
Yes, I mean, obviously, you know, you'll need to think about it. Please, I mean, you know, if you're willing to read these briefing packs now, you know, they'll take you a few hours to get through, but I do recommend doing so. They'll give you a much better picture of what I'm talking about. And if you are still of a mind to help save humanity, then we will have work for you. We will have very, very important work for you. In fact, we have need of a team to go out into the field quite soon, I think. We're getting some alarming reports from North Borneo, and we're starting to piece those together at the moment, but we'll probably need a field team together in a few days.
So these snake people, they like exist behind the scenes in the world?
Yes. I mean, as I said, they're a spent force. I mean, they did once rule the world, but they tore their own society apart, and their numbers are small, they're weak. I think as long as we can keep them in check and stop them from gaining access to any sources of power, then humanity should be safe. But you know, we have spies, we have sources of information, and the stories that we hear are quite alarming, that we believe the inner night are building up towards something cataclysmic.
So all the rumors were true. President Herbert Hoover really is a snake person, and he caused the Great Depression.
No, he is simply incompetent rather than malevolent, I'm afraid.
Well, that's a relief. Hand me that file.
Putting my hand on the file and drawing it towards myself, I just say, I am in on two conditions.
Yes.
I must have unfettered access to Tiranish,
and your research libraries?
The library, of course, yes. Tyrannish, well, obviously, you know, our researchers need to, well, for a start, try to restore her to consciousness, first of all, and then try to debrief her. Depending on how that goes, we can perhaps negotiate the rest of the details. But, you know, there's...
Negotiate? Which part of unfettered is your pathetic little mind not understanding?
Let me ask Dr. Gonsalves what he believes and is best for the circumstances. I am reluctant to make any promises I can't keep, but if it's possible for you to speak to Tyrannish, then we'll arrange what we can.
I just start playing with a little sextant on the table, just kind of flicking it, playing with it and going, and what if we say no? Then what happens?
Then you will have to go back to your lives and back into society in the knowledge that your inaction may well have doomed humanity and everyone you've ever loved.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Sometimes you worry me, Bart. I really don't know your full history.
That's it then. No very strong tea in a small room. We just get to go.
Looking over at Camilla.
Come on. It's not like we're a threat. Who would believe us? Snake people, conspiracies, ancient civilizations.
That's true. You have a point. No one ever believes you. Okay. Then I guess we're in.
So the files that you've got, I mean, they'll take you a couple of hours to read, but they basically support a lot of the information that Shapiro gave you and give you a lot more information about, the origins of the Serpent People. The fact that they their empire, the first Volusian Empire and the second Volusian Empire, were centered on... the continent of Mu, which, you know, as the documents refer to, you know, was lost under the waves millennia ago, but was once the seat of their power. It talks about, you know, the rise of the various empires and the fall, and the fact that, yes, it was largely... According to the documentation, yeah, the followers of Sarthogua basically decided that they were going to use the power of that was contained within Mu, with particularly within the Citadel, the head of the Serpent, the headquarters of the Serpent Person Empire, to bring about a destruction of all of their enemies, of humanity in particular, and ensure the long term survival of their race. But that, you know, the conflicts within Serpent Person society led to themselves tearing themselves apart, led to the destruction of Mu, and led to them becoming a spent force as an empire, and giving space for humanity to rise and take over the world.
And how long ago was this, do we know?
At least 10,000 years ago, and possibly more.
And do we know anything about where Mu is or was?
No. I, you know, it says that it sank below the waves, but that's about it. If anyone wants to give me a Cthulhu Mythos roll.
Yes.
I have zero Cthulhu Mythos at this time.
Well, that's about to change. Cthulhu Mythos.
I have five. Is there any way to aid these people, to aid Ethan in this roll?
I got 85 against 5.
No, you can make your own roll, but you can't help anyone else with it.
62 out of 5. No.
Okay, well, if you know, spend the couple of hours reading this, you will get another 5 points in Cthulhu Mythos. So, you know, everyone who completes reading the mission pack, give yourself 5 points of Cthulhu Mythos.
Is there a thing about, I'm not sure if I actually want to do this, but isn't there a rule that says that I could choose not to believe it and just think that I'm reading something.
You can only do that as long as you haven't had any direct experience of the mythos. You've seen okay. serpent people. You can't really lie to yourself and say, no, none of this is true when you've met serpent people.
So if I add 5 to my mythos, do I have to take 5 away from my sanity or just from my maximum?
No, everyone who reads this loses a D4 points of sanity.
Oh! Okay. Oh!
Okay.
Hey!
Except for when you roll 4.
Hey! 1!
I rolled a 2. Bad.
So almost predictably, everyone is relatively there's fine with this, one. Except for Ethan.
Well, it still would have been 5. So
this is some crazy shit. Why is everybody so calm? I don't get it.
True to the story. Fantastic.
Yeah. It's like one thing we never dealt with, and I'm sorry to bring it now. It's kind of
waiting for an opportunity.
But when did have I had a chance to look at the research material, books and scrolls that were brought back on the trip back?
You will have had a little time to flick through them or look at them on the plane. Yeah. But
on
plane, yeah. Well, it's all been plane. They it's private aircraft that owned by Cadesius that have taken you back from Bolivia to here. Yeah, you've not really made much progress because the scrolls are all written in this ancient language, Nakao.
And I know how to count.
I was about to say, you know the numbers now.
But the good news is that the briefing pack that you've got, in the information that it gives you about the serpent people and their culture and so on, actually does give you a little bit of a foundation in Nakao. So everyone who spends the afternoon reading this can give themselves 10 points in other language, Nakao.
Yes!
How do you spell that?
Other language.
It's N-A-A-C-A-L.
Cal. Thank you.
Okay, so we've learned this. Is there any more about this citadel? Like you said, they kind of used it to gain power. Is that a...
Yeah, I mean, the citadel, according to the notes, I mean, they're a bit scant, but the notes indicate that the citadel was this structure, this shining city built atop a volcano, a volcano by the name of Yadithgo. Yadithgho.
And that's where the citadel is, sorry, on top of
it. The citadel was built on top of the volcano. In fact, again, if anyone wants to give me a Cthulhu Mythos roll, see whether they recognise that name.
How much of my sanity do I have to lose for it to be considered temporary insanity?
20%.
20%. So I lost, how much did I lose? I lost 4 when I was on 39.
Okay, so no, you're okay.
Just shy.
He's so excited to be bonkers. 7, 8,
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, I rolled a 91 versus
15. No one succeeded. Okay.
30 over 5.
So no, the name Yadithgo doesn't mean anything to any of you. So, like I say, it's taken you a few hours to go through all these briefing documents and to try to make sense of the Nakao stuff. But by the time you finished, it's early evening. The bullpen outside is beginning to empty out. I mean, there's a few people around, but it's not quite the hive of activity it was before. Shapiro comes back and says... Have you read all the documentation now? Have you come to a decision?
Honestly, Shapiro, I lost quite a lot of money in the Depression. It was quite a hard time for me, so anything I can do to bring that damned Herbert Hoover to justice and prove to the world that he really is a snake man, count me in.
As long as I get to continue to kill interesting things, I'm definitely on board.
Oh, I think there'll be plenty of opportunity for you to kill unusual things.
A good trophy kill never goes amiss.
If my conditions are met, I too will join, but I warn you, do not cross me.
looking very trying, looking like he's trying very hard to be intimidating. But probably.
Shapira smiles indulgently and says, "We shall attempt to, you know, give you whatever access we can to Tyranish."
The stupid thing is, Bart is actually crazy, scary, and lethal.
But now I imagine him as that pit, that photo we have.
I know. So for a second, I thought that was Camilla.
Who link it? What photo? What?
In roll 20. We've got.
So everyone's given their decision to Shapiro except Camilla.
Well, Therian, I'm in. I always love bringing a new story back to the club and shocking everyone at the parties.
Don't you own a speakeasy here?
I do. The 11 Lilies. Yeah, you're all welcome.
Hmm. It won't be a speakeasy because Prohibition's over now. It's 1933, so booze.
It's just a bar.
Booze is legal again.
True. Booze is legal. The dancers may not be. You'll have to come and find out.
Well, Shapiro says, I'll need to contact you as soon as we got more information on the situation in North Borneo. You'll have a few days to, recover and, do anything you need to do in town. But, please leave details of where you can be contacted, and I shall be in touch soon.
Amazing. Is this a good point to end the episode?
This is.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much at home for listening, and thank you everyone for playing. Obviously, I've been Joe, and if you want to contact me, you could find me at HWR Podcast on Twitter. And Curran, where can people find you?
Hi, I'm Curran. You can find me on Twitter at How We Roll Curran or on the How We Roll Discord.
And Lisa?
Hi, I'm Lisa Lee, and you can find me at Lisa Bell on Twitter with two I's and on the How We Roll Discord.
Dave, are you available on any social media for our fans at home?
No, but if you ask me that question one more time, I might just set up an email account just so I don't have to explain every time.
It'd be rude though if I just missed you out.
I don't. And thank me. I might be setting an email address up with no guarantee that I will reply very much because interacting with people can sometimes be hard.
Dave, yeah. Fuck off and leave me alone.com.
That's it.
Yes. Dave at chronic migraines and a teething baby. You think I have time?
.org.
No. .org. Yeah. Actually, no, it's not that I don't have time. It's just, yeah. I do appreciate everything that comes to me, and the fan base does keep me going. I'm sorry, guys. I don't have the energy to interact with you.
It's Dave at donotreply.com.
Do not reply at dave.com.
Dave, yes. Dave at onlyeverstrokemyegoplease.com.
And Aaron, I mean, we heard you briefly in this episode. I know you've got quite a lot going on, so where can people find you?
Oh, boy, yeah. So you can go ahead and find me on Mixer. I'm a variety streamer on Mixer where I play games and present a news channel presenting the news 3 days a week. You can find me on there as well as my Twitter, which tells you about everything I do, at GruntyBabyUK, all one word. And other than streaming, a little bit of voice acting here and there and appearing on this wonderful podcast, that's me.
And last but by no means least, we have Scott, our keeper for tonight. Scott, where can people find your work?
Yes, well, I share a website with my good friends Paul Fricker and Matt Sanderson, where we host the podcast that we do together, The Good Friends of Jackson Elias, where we talk about Call of Cthulhu, horror films, weird fiction, and all the other stuff that influences us. So we post there fairly regularly. The website is blasphemoustomes.com. And we've got details there about how to contact any of us, how to download the website, about how to download the podcast, and other stuff that might interest you.
Fantastic. And thanks all for listening, and we'll be back soon with the next episode. Thank you so much for listening. Before we go, we want to say a huge thank you to everyone that supports us on Patreon. We actually couldn't do this without your support. We want to welcome our new Patreons, so a big thank you to Dez1001, Nathan H, Robert M, and David H. Patrons get early access to episodes, blooper reels, and a chance to play a game with us, so it's definitely worth checking out patreon.com/howwerollpodcast. Before we go, we'll say a big thank you to battlebards.com for letting us use their sound effects and music. You should definitely check them out to make your game sound like How We Roll. We also want to give a shout out to our partners at Idle Champions of the Forgotten Realms, who want to give you a gold chest code for you to use this week. All you need to do is enter the game and type in SYPE DUDSWOODPOGY. Thank you very much, and we'll be back next time with the next episode.